Well, good morning. My name is Luke Urban. My first name is Luke Avery, but I go by both, so don't be confused if you ever see that. That's not my last name. I'm here with my wife, Sydney, and it's a joy and a privilege to be with y'all this morning. So enjoyed remembering the Lord Jesus Christ with y'all and just coming back anew this new week to remember what He did for us, the wonder of the gospel. I pray I never lose the wonder of that. That God became man and loved me, a vile, wretched sinner, enough to take my place and to bear the wrath of God in my stead. I'm so thankful the Lord instituted that on the night He was betrayed so that we could come back for that reminder, of what He's done for us. Sydney and I were married. I just want to be brief with this because if you want to know something about me, ask me later. We have more important things to look at. Sydney and I have been married a little over 4 years. Some of y'all may know we're expecting our first and we're very excited. The Lord willing, the baby will come September 1st or there around. And, I'm from Lincoln County, Georgia, Lincolnton, Georgia, where the Thorpes, Sam and Barbara, I know y'all know them. And we like them so much that they married us, and we like them so much even more, we're building a house across the street from them. So they're like spiritual parents to us. We just love them. We go to their house every Thursday night for a Bible study that they host, and they're dear friends. I work in law enforcement. I started in June of 2018. For some reason, I took a brief sabbatical from the sheriff's office and decided to go get hired at our county fire department and became a fireman and an EMT. I thought running into burning buildings was a good idea for a couple of years, but during Helene, I started back again at the sheriff's office. I'm a field training officer there. I'm a patrol deputy. My main job is answering 911 calls and all that stuff. So that's my occupation and a little background. We're in fellowship at Washington Bible Chapel where the Thorpes go. And so it's just a real joy and a privilege to be with y'all. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, I've been going through Luke at a week-by-week pace. The way my work schedule is, I work 4 weekends in a row, and I'm off 4 weekends in a row. So the weekends that I'm off, I'm normally speaking somewhere, and I'm working through Luke. And this morning, we're going to pick up at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and then in the Family Bible Hour, we're going to be looking at an awesome portion of Scripture, the Transfiguration. And how in the world can I cover the Transfiguration in such a brief time? We will only have a taste of it, because it is so glorious as our Lord is so glorious. But I've been going through Luke, and this morning we fall in Luke 9, and let me just read give the context. I'll start in verse 21. And He strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Verse 23. And He said to all, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you, truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." God and our Father, we just pray that You would open our hearts and our minds, they would be attentive to Your word, and that we would receive it. And by receiving it, Lord, we would apply it to our lives, that our lives may bring honor and glory to Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in His name. Amen. We have a lot to cover in such a brief time, so if you don't catch a reference or you take notes, I will be happy to give you this reference sheet here I have. I just want to ask a few questions. What is a disciple? What is it? Are we disciples of the Lord Jesus? I certainly pray that you are. We should be. This portion is found in Matthew 16, verse 24 through 28, and Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 38. It's the synoptic gospels that cover this also. But what is a disciple? Simply put, is a person who has placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and they follow after him to seek to live as he lives. It's a learner. It's someone who comes after Christ and follows him in his way of life, his example. And isn't that what we call being Christ-like? I think that's what we all want to be. We want to be like our Lord, the Lord Jesus. I've often thought that when we get to glory, I don't want the Lord to have to take a couple of angels to have a pressure washer to get all the world off me. As we go through life, we should be becoming what? Sanctified, right? Becoming more and more like Christ. And I'm thankful that he's a gracious God that is long-suffering. He is gracious. He is tender. He is always inviting us when we fail to come back. He is a good heavenly father. He's not what some people believe, that he has a hammer ready to drop it on us. Now, there is chastening, there is discipline, but it's for our good to become more and more like his son, because if we do that, that is the best thing for us. That's where we get the spiritual blessing. Maybe it's not what we consider blessings in this life, what the world considers. You know, I'm so disappointed in some people who, this prosperity gospel. You know, we are promised, what we'll be looking at in a minute, we're promised a hard life as a Christian. Y'all, no one promises an easy life for a Christian. Take up your cross, follow me. All those things the Lord said in John, that in this life you'll have what? Blessings and wealth and prosperity? No, he said you'll have tribulation. But fear not, I've overcome the world. We win in the next life when we see the Lord Jesus face to face. We are not guaranteed an easy life as a Christian. So a disciple is someone who follows after the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives a life in the Spirit of God, yielded to his will, not our own will. And I just want to give you a few things I thought of. A disciple is a vessel for Christ. We don't have the literal Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth right now. He will be. He will be when he comes back in glory and he touches down on the Mount of Olives. But we don't have that. So what are we? We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors to the world. And so a disciple is a vessel for the Lord Jesus to work. He's a vessel, a mind through which Christ can think. Paul says, have this mind which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's a mind that is yielded to the way the Lord Jesus would think. We want to have that mind in us, a mind of humility, a mind that seeks after others' welfare, not our own, a mind that is humble and one that is serving like the Lord Jesus. Have this mind which is yours in Christ, a mind through which Christ can think. It's also a heart and a set of hands through which Christ can love. And you get that from John 13. The Lord said, I gave you this example. This example that you're going to serve one another. You're going to love one another. We're the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. We are to be those who follow his example. In John 13, in that time of the Passion Week, that is a perfect example of what the Lord did for us. He served. He washed the disciples' feet. And he said, I've shown you this and given you this example to follow. So we are a heart through which Christ can love, and a set of hands through which Christ can serve. And then fourthly, a voice through which Christ can speak. You know, the Lord said that don't worry about when you are brought to the officials about what answer you're going to give. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. And how many times when we are out in this world and we feel that tugging inside of the Spirit of God saying, say something. Luke, witness to this person. Luke, share a scripture with this person. Do this. Speak for me. And we are a voice through which Christ can speak the word of God to those lost and dying amongst us. So we are a vessel for Christ. Again, I say a disciple is a learner. It is someone who is not like me when I was in college. I was a terrible student. Sydney has amazing recall. She is so smart, y'all. I really outdid myself, outkicked my coverage. She is so smart. She's beautiful. She's godly. Anyways, I need to stop. She's wonderful. But she is so smart, and she can recall things just like this. I was a terrible student because I learned stuff for the purpose of passing a test. That's not what a disciple should be. Mathetes, a learner. We should be those who learn because we want to know. We want to be those who learn about the Lord Jesus and about God because we want to be like Him. It's not just so that we can pass a test or get a good score. It's someone who is a learner who follows after Him. It's not a student who just learns to get knowledge. And that, how terrible. You know, you can be a Christian with a lot of head knowledge and a terrible disciple. And y'all probably know some of those people. Maybe I've been that in my life before, where we have head knowledge of the Scriptures, head knowledge of Christ, but our lives and our actions do not back it up. And that is a waste. A waste. A disciple. So let me just briefly run through this portion in Luke. You first see the call for discipleship. That's the first point. The call for discipleship. The Lord says now He goes from speaking to His own, speaking strictly to them, charging them not to say anything about His prediction, His prophecy, His expectation of going to Calvary. And He says to all, you find that in the verse 23, He changes and He says to all, if anyone would come after Me. So there's a call for discipleship. Matthew 16:24 says, and then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me. But Mark says in 8:34, and calling the crowd, He said to His disciples, if anyone would come after Me. So the disciples are there, but the crowd's there. And I think this message is for all of them. It's an open invitation to come follow the Lord Jesus. And we know that salvation is an open invitation, right? What would Paul say in Romans 1:16? Salvation came to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And I'm thankful for that salvation in the name of Jesus is for all people. It's not just for one people, it's for all people. All people need to hear the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Of course, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, you know, the Lord said, then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And you know that we can trace this line of discipleship from the original apostles to you and me. You ever think about that? Your spiritual heritage? Someone from those 12 apostles, well, 11, but then we know after the Lord was raised, those 12 apostles spread out and made disciples, which made disciples, which made disciples, and on and on and on. Someone led someone to Christ through the ages, and someone got to you. And I pray they've gotten to you. If not, today is the day of salvation. But that is the spiritual heritage that we have, that through the ages, past 2,000 years, people have been good disciples of the Lord Jesus and been willing to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Are you willing to do that? Am I willing to do that? We need to continue on spreading this message of the gospel until He comes back for us. Until there's no longer breath in our lungs, or until we're caught up in a twinkling of an eye and we see Him face to face. We are commanded to keep making disciples. Paul followed this example of imitating Christ. Just a few references. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of Me as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:16, I urge you then, be imitators of Me. Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating Me. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, as you became imitators of us And it goes on and on. Paul says that a lot, to imitate him as he imitated Christ, as he followed Christ. And then I think today we still have this example that when we see a brother or sister living godly, we want to imitate them. We want to be godly like them. If they have a good testimony and living for the Lord, Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." We want to follow after. We have this spiritual heritage. We have other believers who have gone on before us. We want to imitate their faith. You know, February 7th was 1 year since my father went to be with the Lord. He had a terrible illness for 9 years and just debilitating. He had a brain disease and a lung disease, but his faith was so strong. I want to be like that. I can tell you right now, God's grace is so sufficient, because he, struggling could breathe, when people would visit him, all he would want to do is witness to him, tell him about the Lord Jesus. And his last words that he spoke was, after hearing my sister read Psalm 23, was "forever with the Lord." And then he passed. But I want to imitate that type of faith. I want to be able to look death in the eye, suffering, whatever life brings, whatever this life brings, I want to look it in the eye and say, "Lord, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to run this race well. And I'm looking forward to seeing you face it." He could not wait to see the Lord. I want that faith. I want to imitate that faith. So that's the call for discipleship, to be imitators of Christ, imitators of others who are following after him. And then we have a next portion here. I'll just call this the commitment of discipleship. And so the first thing we see in Luke's gospel here and the other gospels is, let him deny himself. Wow, what a easy thing to say and what a hard thing to do. Let him deny himself. Y'all, we are so selfish as people. I mean, just little things, right? I want the best parking spot. I want the best seat. You know, it's no different. Things don't change. The Lord talked about the Pharisees, about how they want the prominent places. They want the best seats. They want all this. Yo, we're the same way. We really are. If I tear a cookie in half and share with Sydney, I want the bigger half. It's the flesh, right? It's the flesh in us. I mean, if you say that you are not selfish at times, we just deceive ourselves. It's just, some are more than others, but we all struggle with that. Well, here it is. The Lord says, let him deny himself. That's the first step. Y'all, the first step to salvation is what? Realizing that you're a sinner. That's the first step. And the first step for being a disciple is you've got to deny yourself and come under his lordship. You've got to come under his leadership. But it's not going to be my way. It's going to be his way. So the first thing we see is, let him deny himself. I think John the Baptist is the greatest example of this in the Gospels. John the Baptist was powerful. He had a big following. And look what he says. If you want to turn there, you can. In Matthew 3, this is what it says in verse 5, Matthew 3. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. This is John. And they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Massive crowds, hundreds, maybe thousands of people. Is that natural for someone just to say, I must decrease and he must increase? That's not natural. But that's what John did, because John was filled with the Spirit. He understood that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that he came to herald, but he wasn't the one to get the glory for it. So when he came on the scene, he faded away. Matthew 11:11. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John. This is what the Lord says about John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The paradox. John could have easily enjoyed the fame and popularity and kept going on, but he lived out that self-denial life that he, as his famous verse in John 3:30, that John said, he must increase and I must decrease. Y'all, that should be a prayer for us every day. How much better would our Christian lives be if we followed through with that prayer every day? Lord, Luke must decrease and you must increase. That's a great prayer to pray. You know, it's convicting to my heart. What is dying to self and what is self-denial? Well, there's a little poem I'll read quickly. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you do not sting or hurt with insult or with oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed and your advice disregarded, when your opinions are ridiculed and you refuse to let anger arise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patience, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, spiritual instability, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Y'all, that is just convicting. If we can do those things, that is dying to self. Point number two in this portion, take up your cross daily. Y'all, it's so easy for us. I think we miss it. I think we miss it so often when we read those words, take up your cross daily. What that means and what that would have meant for them in that time. These disciples would have grown up walking on Roman roads and seeing people literally being crucified and dying, as children maybe even. This is graphic language that the Lord is using. Pick up your cross. You know what you did with the cross? And I have nothing against cross jewelry. I have nothing against cross t-shirts or anything like that. But to them in that day, that would be like pick up the electric chair and carry it with you. Who would do that? Pick up the hangman's noose and carry it. Pick up the needle of lethal injection and carry it with you to your death. I mean, this is graphic language. They would have seen people literally being tortured to death on the side of roads. That's what Rome did. They crucified them on road signs to send a message, don't mess with Rome. Graphic. Whereas the Jews would have sent people outside of the camp, outside of the city, the Romans said, instead of a sign, you know, here comes Bucky's like we see coming up I-20, here's people crucified. It's just horrible to imagine. But that's what they would have heard. It's easy for us to read it. It's easy for us to hear it. But actually put yourself in their shoes. This is what the Lord calls them to and calls you and me to. Pick up your cross and carry it. It only means one thing. It means death. Death of yourself. Galatians 2:20, Paul would say, I have been crucified with Christ. That's pretty graphic language, Paul. It is no longer I who live. This is what Paul's getting at. It doesn't mean always physical death, which it could very well mean. And we know that it meant all of that for the disciples except John. All of them would go to death. But what it means is that we identify that it's no longer us, it's no longer Luke who lives, it should be Christ who has the authority and the place of prominence and preeminence. But with Christ who lives in me, and this life I live now in the flesh, how do we live it? We live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we do it. We look back just like we do every Lord's Day, every day of our lives as believers, to encourage us to live a life of self-denial, of carrying our cross. We look back at the one who did it for us. And we have to have that gospel primer to look back to encourage us to live for Him each day. 1 Peter 4:16, and yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. That's what we're to do. Thirdly, follow me. Follow me, and our time is running out, but I can just say we need to follow after the Lord's example. Some of the ways we can follow Him is that we will walk in the way He walked. 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. That's one easy way to do it. We need to study the Word of God and see what He did, see how He interacted in the Gospels, and follow after Him. We should abide in His Word. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. We will love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything if we want to be His disciple. We have to love the Lord. Luke 14:26, if anyone who comes after Me does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be My disciple. You want to talk about claims of what the Lord is calling us to? They are great, but He's a great God, and He invites us to follow Him daily. Doesn't mean that we hate anyone. I don't have to tell y'all that. It means that in comparison of our love for Him, that everything else is secondary. We'll deny ourselves. We'll love as He loved, as I mentioned in John 13. And ultimately in John 15, verse 8, we're going to bear fruit. By this My Father is glorified. You want to glorify God? You want to know how to glorify God? That you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. That's John 15, verse 8. Lastly, the cost of discipleship. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Y'all, the cost is too great to neglect this. If you neglect, yeah, it sounds like a lot. The world doesn't want this because it sounds like I've got to give up all my fun. I got to give up my way. I got to do all this stuff. You know, it's all about me, me, me. But what will it cost you? If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it could cost you everything here on earth. It could. There are Christians right now who are meeting in secret that if the government or any type of other religious groups found them, they would certainly be killed. That's what it costs. That's what it could cost for us, even in the United States. One day it could get there. But what it costs you if you neglect that is eternity. What will it profit a man or a woman or a boy or a girl if they gain everything in life and reject the Lord Jesus because they will lose their soul? It's the too great a cost. Luke 17:33, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. The paradox. John 12:25. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's what we want. You know, I think I'll just close with this thought. The young rich ruler, there is no greater example, I think, in Luke's gospel of someone who forfeited their soul. This person came to the Lord Jesus. He came to the right person. He came asking the right question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He came to the right person. He came to with the right question. And he went away sad. And he went away lost and on his way to hell. Because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let that be you. And don't let that be someone you know or a stranger even. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and so prove to do the works of God and be His disciple. It's a joy and a privilege. I look forward to picking up, you see in this portion, in verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Scripture gives us the example of suffering and then glory. And I look forward to looking at the glory in a moment, in a few minutes. Our God and our Father, we just thank You for this time this morning. We pray that we would be good disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would deny ourselves, Father, that is so hard for me. Please help us to deny ourselves, to look out for the needs of others, especially of the household of faith, Lord, to do good to them, Lord, and also to pick up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, carry our cross, Lord, and to follow after you. We pray that you would help us, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you would bless our time in the next meeting. In Christ's name, amen.